The 9 till Noon Show on Highland Radio.
You're very welcome back to the 9 till Noon Show. Thank you to all of you listening and texting into the show. Greg, there was a time when you didn't pay for a phone call until a person answered. Now you're charged from the minute the machine is switched on. It costs a fortune and most times no satisfaction. That comes in from Mary. I'm going to mention that after we get through some of these comments, because there's some good news that I want to share with you as well. Hi, Greg. I know this has been discussed before on your show. However, lighting in Ballybofey is shocking. You can't see if the person crossing the road. It's extremely difficult when raining. The new crossing is also difficult. Lighting over these are poor and no beacons. People asking for this fixed, but nothing has been done. Don't understand the reasoning when so many have asked for this issue to be fixed. Possibly get someone on from the council. Well, we've covered this extensively, as you know, listener. It's not necessarily a council issue either, as such. Driving through this morning, it was pitch black, it was raining, and it was hard to see if anyone was crossing. And I still have great concerns about that crossing there at the bank, particularly. A caller says everyone's avoiding the pole star and coming in the back way to town, resulting in traffic around Lismonahan and Old Town. Okay, well, at least they're staying out of my way. No, joke, obviously. But we all need to use the road as normal for them calibrating those lights, I suppose. A caller says it's insane to think the consultants are warning of service collapse at LUH, coupled with an unprecedented intervention from 78 GPs, and yet the minister is reluctant to come and see the situation for himself. His job is to solve this problem. As minister, unthinkable. He'd prefer to hide behind his desk in Dublin, though he would probably say he's got a lot of commitments and is busy. He should come and meet the people waiting for hours in ambulances and in the ED to understand the gravity of the situation. If this was St James or Tallaght Hospital, he'd meet stakeholders there. Why are Fianna Fáil so hell-bent on disrespecting and leaving Donegal behind? Well, it's not the party as a whole. He is a minister. In his own right also as well, of course, though he's a member of that party. The GPs are sticking to their guns, though, and they will go public again, no doubt about that, if the minister refuses to come to Donegal and meet them where the problem is actually happening. Over 7 weeks into hedge-cutting season and very little done, roads in our dry area. I hear the council do get some areas and roads done, so they need to either cut none or all, as a lot of landowners are confused with what's going on. I think you texted in from our draw a couple of weeks ago as well, or someone else did at least. Still no progress there. It's not a process I'm incredibly familiar with in terms of responsibility and what have you. Right, now the Irish Hotel Awards 2023 have taken place, and the Irish Hotel Awards took place in the Radisson Blu in Sligo on Tuesday. The best of the best in the hospitality sector celebrated their hard work and achievements, and we want to say a big congratulations to the Waterfront Hotel in Dunloe, standing proud, taking not one but two prestigious awards back to Donegal. They won the Ulster Coastal Escape of the Year and Business and Conference Hotel of the Year. So congratulations to all the team out there at the Waterfront Hotel in Dunloe. It's a wonderful hotel. I've stayed there before, and it's amongst a whole host of fantastic hotels we have in this county. We're blessed with them. Okie doke. We're joined in studio now by Administrator at Highland Radio Events. Administrator and Highland Radio Events, Katie McGee. Sorry, it's just as it's written. And Highland Radio Events, Katie McGee. Hi, Katie.
Hello.
Thanks for calling in.
No problem.
exciting developments, because finally we have an online shop, or we will. Tomorrow.
Yeah, we're live tomorrow.
It's an outlet on our website. Shop.highlandradio.com is the URL. Tell us about it. What's happened?
So it'll be accessible through our Highland Radio webpage. So it'll be on the homepage, similar to how it would look for the car draw. You know, the way there'll be a bit sort of a long banner across the home screen. So that's exactly how it's going to look as well. It's called The Outlet. So get used to that name, The Outlet. To go, you can purchase your events, and so anything we're doing throughout 2024 will be up there as of tomorrow. So anything we have going on for 2024 will be up for purchase from tomorrow going forward, as well as our own Christmas concert, where you can purchase packages and tickets, both purchasable online. Highland Radio merchandise, bingo books,
merch. We call it merch. Absolutely. Get Highland Radio merch.
Yeah.
Now, people familiar with our website will know that we do the card draw, be there, a show will be there, and you click through. This is a one-stop shop. a one-stop yes. outlet shop, so to speak, shop.highlandradio.com. So we've always had an online presence, but now this is a one-stop place. So in other words, go, oh, I heard that ad. I might have a look at that. Shop.highlandradio.com. The info will be there, all in the one place. Yeah. Got the shopping cart, all that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah. No, it's really cool, actually. And it looks really well, actually. There's some really good work done in the background on it as well. So I'm really looking forward to people seeing the final product tomorrow. And like I say, whole plethora of stuff going on next year that we've been putting together. Brian Adams, I just added about 5 days ago. So, yeah, so we've been lucky enough to get some really good shows for next year as well as everything else, and our own concert, which is really exciting because we haven't done it.
I haven't heard about this. Can we talk about that?
Christmas concert,
it's on December the 11th, which is good. I like Christmas concerts and Christmas things that are close to Christmas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is good.
Absolutely.
So it's on the 11th of Christmas, so you can be in your full... You can have your tree up at that point. It's perfectly legal.
Totally can.
And and you can... You can really get a sense of it. What can you tell us about that concert yet, except that it's on the 11th of December?
Well, I can tell you a few details.
Go on, please.
So we have John McNichol, Michael English, Claudia Buckley, our own David James, and Jack Kyo. So we have they're the acts that will be playing. We have the two options, as we always did before COVID, and we were doing these concerts quite regularly. So we have a dinner, bed and breakfast option and your ticket to the show, which is purchasable obviously online through the outlet, and also if you want you can call me here, no bother, to purchase that, and then the ticket only option as well if you just want to go to the concert and go home afterwards. So
fantastic.
Those are the two options there. Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. And also other shows that we have for next year. Sister Act, which is nearly sold out, is it?
Yeah, we're pretty much there with Sister Act. There's a very limited space that's left for it.
Brian Adams, as you mentioned, this is brilliant for people who want hassle-free. I was chatting to people that were going to watch Luke Holmes, and the talk of what car should we take, where do we park, trying to park around Belfast, trying to park around Dublin, it was two separate people, trying to get accommodation, you know, a whole handling. Now, we do it and it's fine, right? But the thing with the likes of the Brian Adams trip, you know, it's your transfers, your ticket, your accommodation. You don't have to worry about any of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's a big deal for people. Michael McIntyre, the comedian, he's hugely popular. Very funny, actually, Michael McIntyre.
Yeah.
Wicked and Hamilton, two more shows as well.
Exactly.
All deets will be available tomorrow.
Yeah, 100%.
They're available now, but I'm on about on outlets.
Yeah, we'll call it the outlet.
Yeah, I'm not going
to... I'm
not going to be conditioned to. That's what you're trying to do here.
You'll be calling it the outlet soon enough, anyway, I guarantee.
How many of you met around a table to decide we're going to make sure it's called the outlet?
it has
to be called the outlet.
We actually, do you know what? We were struggling with what to call it.
Clearly, and you didn't really get to the end of that journey. You just gave in.
Gave
in mid-struggle.
Not at all. I think it's a really cool name, actually.
Well, here's one,
short,
right? If I was in on that meeting, Highland Shop.
But you're not telling anybody.
We're not in America.
Well, you know.
We're in Ireland. It's a shop. So from henceforth...
You're going to call it the shop.
No, I'm only joking. Either way, it's shop.highlandradio.com. Someone must have taken outlet.highlandradio.com. And it's going to be live for you from tomorrow. And what it is, it's a one-stop outlet for all of the Highland stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Rather than, as I say, we've been doing online forever. But it just means that there's a one-stop place that we can direct you rather than looking at banners and people on different devices. The banners can be in different places and all that kind of stuff.
And
so we'll still have that stuff there, but it's just so that you know when you can check out your card and the various options. Like you say with the Christmas show, it's quite simple. Is it just a ticket? Do you want the accommodation as well?
Yes.
So, you know, it makes it all really quite simple and streamlined.
The other thing, there's two things there just what I wanted to mention. One is you can go in, you can pay your deposit as normal for trips and that kind of thing, or you can pay full price, whatever. The option is there for whatever way you want to pay initially. And secondly, with the bingo books, it's a good service because it it broadens where we can actually, where people can actually play the bingo, because obviously the bingo numbers are online.
Wicklow, London.
Play anywhere you want.
Who's our listener in the Cayman Islands? We'll get them out to you.
We'll post out the
cups. I can't remember her name. Say hello to me in the Cayman Islands again this morning. Dolores really? Was down in Galway. I wonder, are you back, Dolores? I know where everyone's at all the time.
Chat
away here on the Facebook.
You see, wow.
All right, so we can get them out. We can get them out to the Cayman Islands, down to Galway, wherever you are. There's Lanzarote too. Say hello from Lanzarote. Charles is over in Glasgow. Are you there, Charlie? Anyway, you can play bingo. We can get the books out to you. No problem. Now, just something I want to say, if that's okay, by the way, in case anyone thinks this is not us abandoning you and your cash and coming to see us and anything like that there. This is just about making those who prefer to do stuff online or choose to do stuff online to make it as simple and streamlined and one-stop shop as possible. We're still at the end of the phone on 07491 25000, and there's people calling up all the time, and that's okay too. This is just to make the online experience more streamlined and enjoyable for those that choose to do it that way, Katie.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. We had an online portal before for purchasing our own concerts, but this is just, we've just basically taken that idea and we've made it for everything. So
it's next level stuff.
Next level. That's like, it. You always have to aim higher, you know.
Of course, it's the fleet of foot of us here that we just, Okay, so it's good. It's great. Kate, you know, you and others and those working on the back end of this have worked really hard, and really it's just to make it much easier for people who want to do stuff online. Tomorrow you'll see details on our trips for Sister Act, Brian Adams, Michael McIntyre, Wicked, Hamilton, the Christmas concert, which we've just revealed details of there. That's on the 11th of December, which is just really, really close.
It actually is, isn't it? It's unbelievable.
Like Easter. Halloween's going to be behind us in no time. And then it's jingle bells and adverts with Christmas puns in.
I know.
We're going to get spooktacular is out.
I can't. Are you organised for Christmas?
Yeah, fully. Everything
is
sorted.
Well, you see, there you go. There you go. Now.
Christmas tree is up and everything.
with the ghost on the top.
I said to someone last year, I says, I put my Christmas tree up last night, and they says, did you put it up yourself? I says, no, I put it in the front room. Well, just getting my dad joke in there early.
Get the dad joke.
Okay. Katie, listen. Katie, listen, the outlet shop on our website live tomorrow, the trips, the bingo and merchandise, which is good because, I mean, it's going to be a soft launch on the merchandise, I'd imagine, but it'll be nice to be able to build that up, actually.
We have two really nice products which will be going live tomorrow.
If my face isn't on them, you know you're wasting your time.
Well, we actually made a promise that...
What? 90 Moon Cups? No. They're extremely exclusive.
We made a promise to people that there be no Greg Hughes faces on any merchandise in order to sell them.
Just when you're finished here now, would you go out into that reception and would you just dust my award? The gold one?
I believe that belongs to Caroline. Anyway,
right, okay.
Congratulations on that, by the way, because I haven't had a chance. No.
So,
you're fishing.
Caught a whopper. Right, so really what Katie came in for, not just to pass the time of day, is to talk about shop.highlandradio.com tomorrow. Go and have a look at it. It's our new online shop. I'm really excited about it. Any innovation it does excite me, believe it or not. We're going to have details of all of our trips, details on the salute trip as well, the Highland merch, the bingo books, wherever you are, and all that kind of stuff. All right, listen, thanks very much, Katie. Is there anything else we haven't mentioned?
No, I think that's it for now.
All right.
Thank you very much for your time.
Take care of yourself. And Katie McGee, administrator and Highland Radio Events. You are Highland Radio Events, as written here.
That's me.
No title in ahead of that, like. Just Highland Radio Events.
Well.
Caroline says I'm being a brat. I'm joking. Please. Back after these.
Watch the show live now on YouTube, Facebook, and at highlandradio.com.
Greg, one word I hate is merch. There's no such word, actually. I was disappointed to hear you correct the lady who had the intelligence to use the correct term. I'm surprised that someone of your age profile would stoop to use such words. The English language is being decimated by such unnecessary abbreviations, and I'm sorry to be a part of that. I used it ironically. I hate the word too. It's obviously for young people and influencers, and there's a few phrases I dislike. I don't hate. I don't really hate anything. I abhor war and the misuse, the abuse of children and what have you. But in terms of words, I don't hate words and I don't hate people. But merch does grind my gears. It really annoys me. And another thing that annoys me is when people talk about songs in, or TV shows, instead of being released, they're being dropped. It does annoy me. So I used it ironically to sort of maybe and poke fun of myself and others that are like-minded. My apologies. And Katie was quite correct. What do you feel about the Americanization of our language? Is that another thing that bothers you? When I say our language, I mean the English language. My wife left her car in a garage to get two new front tires last year, dropped car off in the morning to collect in the evening as she works in the town. 2 hours later, she got a call telling her that the wishbone bushing was about to fall out of car and that it needed a track rod end. Total cost €340. As it happens, I had changed the track rod ends myself 2 months previously. 2 days later, the car passed its NCT. And add to this, the car passed its NCT again last month with still no word of a worn wishbone bushing or track rod ends being worn. Absolutely disgraceful. That a woman will be treated like this. So they didn't get the work done in the end, and it's passed two NCTs since. Simple solution to Letterkenny traffic problems: put all uninsured drivers off the roads. That'll speed up the flow. Traffic currently backed up. Now, when I say currently, by the way, these texts are coming in over the course of the morning, and they're not all as of now. Traffic backed up to the dry arch from the Polestar. No roadworks, just poor timing of lights. As I said, I went through them, normally quite busy, had no issues at all. Hi, Greg. We've had no water in Ballymaleel since 7 yesterday evening. No notification and can't get any information as to what the issue is or when it will be back on. Can anyone update us? I'll try and do that whilst I speak here to see if I can get the info for you. You'll need a helicopter to get around Letterkenny at present. Come December and Christmas shopping, the roads in and around the town will be the biggest car park in the country, do you think? I mean, you know, if you go into a big shopping centre, it's never going to be a clean road because there's lots of people want to do the exact same that you want to do. Right, let's see. I don't know, Ballymaleel. Repairs to a burst water main may affect supply to the Kiltoy, Glebe, Lochnagin and Sarans until 4 p.m. today. Okay, so is that... I'm sorry, if Ballymaleel is not mentioned, but maybe that's part of that problem there. That's the only one. Well, 7 o'clock. No, there's nothing else there at the moment. The only other update, repairs to a burst water main may cause supply disruptions to Duncan Ely and Sarans until 3 today. And then the only other relevant one I can see for now is repairs to a burst water main may affect supply to Kiltoy, Glebe, Lochnagin and Sarans until 4 p.m. today. So does that include Ballymaleel? Pardon my ignorance on that. It's just hard to know where every townland is in. So that does 4 o'clock. So hopefully it'll be on before that. Caller wants to know if anyone out there has any issues with copper pipes in their homes leaking. Apparently it's a common issue in Donegal, and the caller has only learned that this has this issue, but she hasn't heard anyone else talk about it. It does happen. I've copper pipes in my house for a long time now, and some of the radiators gurgle and bubble and blah, 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 like that there, and I keep having to bleed them. I was told that little holes appear in them and can appear in them, and there's a case going on in West Donegal at the moment too, as it relates to something in the water potentially damaging copper pipes. So your copper pipes are not infallible. It is very possible that they could leak. Right, Robertson Kareen's fundraiser, I just want to mention it's from her page. The National Breast Cancer Research Institute, in association with BlackRock Swimwear, are asking as many people as possible to swim in pink this coming Monday and help raise funds. Or is it Sunday? That's Monday, October 22nd, but it's Sunday. I'll come back to that one. I just want to double check the date there because it says Monday and I don't think that's correct. I'll come back to that and give it a proper mention there, of course. Special needs trust planning Zoom webinar for... Oh, he's online? What? Right, okay. Jack Murray is with me. Jack Murray, my apologies. I did not know you were there. Sorry for holding you. I really do apologise.
No problem.
I've been sitting here waffling, waiting for the next guest to come on, and you sitting there. My apologies again. We spoke to you earlier in this week as it relates to public concern in the Bonkrana area after the arrival of 66 men into the town at night time. There were demonstrations there, and we've spoke to a number of people from the area concerned as to how it happened and what the consequences may be. But there is an update. What is the situation?
Yeah, I've received correspondence yesterday evening from the Department of Equality and Children, advising that the men who were to be housed at the building at the Tapline car park have been relocated to a different county. They haven't given any update as to any future plans. I've asked how would this be long term or short term, but just all they can say at this moment in time, they've been relocated to another county. So I hope that this is a time now for the government to reflect on just how badly this entire saga has been handled. It's no exaggeration to say this is an unprecedented time of worry, concern and tension in the Bonkrana community. It's really divided the community, and it's really worried people. There's been no communication whatsoever at a government level to communicate to people, and it's perfectly understandable that all those people that were there that live in the nearby area had genuine concerns because of this, because of the unknown.
But it puts people, happens as well too, is it puts people, regular folk, in a very difficult situation because they probably understand the background of at least some of these people. They understand what they might be fleeing. They understand that they need somewhere to stay, but they also know in the heart of hearts that this is not appropriate accommodation for them or an appropriate way to do things. And unfortunately, the current policy leaves regular people in that situation, that sort of, you know, conflicting emotion situation.
Yeah, and Donegal has shouldered a huge amount of responsibility in accommodating refugees, far, far more than most counties. I think it's close to 10,000 people is the increase in the county. It's a huge amount. So, but it needs to be controlled and needs to be done in a way that respects the local community. It's not long ago that Donegal County Council had told the Department, I think it was of Justice, that they could no longer accommodate any more Ukrainian refugees because of the health service being stretched, the education service being stretched. But that seems to be ignored. It can't just be a policy of finding anywhere with a roof and cramming as many people in as possible. Don't show any respect for the local community or for the service that are there. And like, it's just almost designed to create as much tension as possible. And I've been very worried. I've been very concerned for a long time how this has been handled. I know my colleague Potter McLaughlin would have spoken to Roderick O'Gorman on this just in the last day or so, but has been raising it consistently in the past. And it's almost a textbook example of how to handle this badly.
Was there any reason given as to why this decision was made? Now, I mean, obviously, those who were out protesting or demonstrating will see this as a victory, I'm sure. When we're talking about people's lives, I suppose it's not sort of the way I would describe it, but I understand that they might feel that that's the situation. But do we know as to why this decision was made? Is it because the people themselves didn't feel like they wanted to be there? It was, the locals were listened to. The accommodation wasn't what they expected it to be. Like, was there any reasons given?
No, I forward the response on to your editorial team there too, so they can see the response. But it's quite vague. It was a response to an email I had written to the department, and they said that I'd outlined the concerns of the local community. They said that they'd recognised the tension in the local area, and on foot of that, they'd relocated these people to another county. That's as long and short as it's detailed. So. But it is recognised, and it should have been recognised a long time ago. As I said, the last time I was on, that I didn't fly the concerns that the location of the shorefront, that there was tension building in the local community, and I think that should have been respected, and it shouldn't have made things worse by once again bringing people in the dark of night to a very, very unsuitable location without any consultation with the local community, without any consideration for the health service or anything like that.
They do claim that they work with government departments and all services in advance of these arrivals. So do you think it's an important question to know, to find out as to what Donegal County Council knows in advance, not the councillors themselves, but if how much information and what information is actually given to the local authority. And if there is quite a bit of information there and quite a bit of forewarning, why is that not shared with councillors? Because whatever about whatever about the team IPASS not engaging with you guys, right? It would be interesting to know what level of engagement there is with the local authority. And if it's extensive, why is the local authority not passing that information on to elected reps?
You know, my understanding is there's next to no communication with the local authority, and even in the email they would accept in it that they have said, well, what they said is that they didn't have enough time to consult like they would like to have. I find that hard to accept too, because there's planning permission in this building probably a year ago to adapt it for this very purpose. So I would find it hard to accept that they didn't have enough time to consult with anybody when they knew this was coming. But that's the reason they've given on the email. So.
Yeah, because it was a change of policy, because it was established that we were at capacity in terms of in Donegal. No one had been moved here for quite some time because of the pressure on services and what have you, and the fact that we had more proportionately of refugees, you know, asylum seekers than any other county. But then it started again. So we'll see where we go from here. Thanks for the update. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, take care of yourself. The email that was forwarded to Councillor Jack Murray in response to the moving of those 66 men. While the community engagement team is not involved in all arrivals, we have been made aware of issues which arose in Donegal. Please note that those applicants seeking protection who were assigned to Donegal have been transferred to another county. Given the extraordinary pressure on Ireland to accept those fleeing the war in Ukraine and those seeking international protection, my colleagues in IPASS do not always have a window to engage with communities as they seek to accommodate applicants who might otherwise be homeless. However, please be assured that we do indeed work with services to assist arrivals, and all government departments and services are ready to do our maximum to work with communities. And it is really quite interesting that it quite often happens at night time as well. All right, Independent Deputy Mark McSharry is with us. Good morning to you, Mark. Thanks for taking the call.
Good morning, Greg, and thank you.
Right, how long have you been considering whether or not you were going to contest the next general election before deciding not to, Mark?
I mean, certainly over the course of the last year, I mean, the thought process would have been afoot. And it's been an incredible privilege and eternally grateful to the electorate, both to the Senate and the Dáil, over the course of the last more than 21 years. And it's been a great privilege. And the time will be right now when the next election comes up to seek out other opportunities and hand over to fresh legs.
Are you disheartened by politics in this country, disillusioned with it?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, I think there are many challenges at the moment. You know, in particular, I feel that politics in Ireland has become the blind pursuit of personal advancement at any cost, over and above sort of issue policy and people-driven politics. And I think that in parallel with what is a reality globally in politics, as well as here in Ireland, where, you know, a dissenting or contrarian voice is far too readily dismissed as and labelled extremist, I think is a very dangerous combination for democracy. And I think that's a challenge for those who will remain in it and those who will come to it new. Certainly that would have been a frustration that I would observe. But no, I mean, we have no choice but to embrace democracy and stick with politics.
With what you've just said, though, did you find yourself having to censor yourself, that you couldn't speak as freely or openly as you might like for fear of, I don't know, cancellation, for fear of it interfering with perhaps any ambitions you might have in the private sector? Like, do you find that you've had to muzzle yourself for the reasons you've just been outlining?
Well, I mean, as you know yourself, and thanks in no small way to yourselves at Highland and the media generally, I never muzzled myself. I always said what I felt needed to be said, and to electoral and personal and other detriment, you know, throughout that period. And you know, my personal view is that's a vital role in anybody that's in politics. You know, in the world we live in at the moment, you know, that's not always acknowledged, it's not always welcomed, and of course people will have other views. But as someone who didn't prioritise popularity over substance, you know, I think that's a really, really critical part for people who are in public life, that, you know, they must be prepared to be unpopular, they must be prepared to irk at least sections of society to call out, you know, injustices or issues that they feel that need to be addressed, rather than, you know, the approach which most follow, sadly, politically, which is political expediency and keeping the head down in favour of better days and promotion and so on. Trumps all out.
Did you ever do that yourself? Keep your head down, I vie for promotion?
No. Everybody's political career sort of takes their path, and, you know, I would have certainly identified early on that if ministerial office was something that was going to drive you, it was very unlikely to be part of my portfolio.
Well,
and
can
my
I
political
ask just,
career.
Like, what, to become a minister then, to become a minister, like, what sort of maybe sacrifices to your constituents do you have to make, if you know what I mean? Like, what is the greasy pole to ministerial office?
Oh, look, I mean, there has been excellent ministers through the years and so on. Okay. And it just wasn't about that for me. It was about the job primarily. But, I would take the view and observe that increasingly there are those who would sacrifice what needs to be done in favour of that political expediency. Mm. Keep the head down, you know, play it safe, praise everybody all the time. And the ball might bounce in your direction. And, you know, if that's what it's about for some people, then that's a matter for them. It wasn't what drove me. Mm-hmm. It's about issues of the people. And they're becoming lost, I think, in the political game generally, unfortunately. You know?
Yeah, and the reality is that's it's there. Everyone can see it. And unfortunately, it seems that politics is not reacting to that. It's going to be very interesting to see how things go into the future. Would you like to have fully reconciled with Fianna Fáil and made this decision representing that party? You know, I mean, you will always be the person that left Fianna Fáil, you know, stayed on as an independent and then bowed out of politics. Will that leave a sour taste in your mouth as the years wear on?
I suppose, given my history in the party, of course, my exit from it is one of sadness. And I still have very many friends in it, and very grateful to the many people who still call themselves Fianna Fáil, who supported me through the years throughout South Donegal and the rest of the constituency. But my decision to leave Fianna Fáil is as valid today as it was at the time. I would take the view that the Fianna Fáil, I first joined and was involved in, it no longer exists. And that's a sad reality, I think, for the people generally, because it was as good a vehicle for the delivery of services as any other through the years, but it was founded on real principle. And I think on one national interview yesterday, I gave the analogy in 2002 when I came in first to national politics. Opinion polls nationally would have been falling on 38 or 39%, but your home was in charge. They were in government more than any other party up to that time. And obviously, lots of water is under the bridge since then. In Connacht Ulster at that time, we would have been as high as 60% at that time. Now we're at 9%. And there's a very good reason for that. I mean, I think Fianna Fáil forgot its Republican principles. I think we forgot the strategic necessity to support border counties and to acknowledge the contribution that could be played if provided the correct enabling infrastructure in the Northwest. And I feel, you know, things like that were abandoned. I'll give you an example. In the news last week, we saw in the national news a suggestion of a new superport in County Meath, to try and take advantage of the wind energy capacity that we have into the future. It just cracks me up, quite frankly. I mean, there is one port capable of this, and that's Killybank, with the wind energy hot off our coast. And with all of the green talk about all we're going to do with all of our wind energy, we have no port like Aberdeen, for example, to capitalise on North Sea oil that they've done over the years. And there's one port in Ireland ready for that, and that's Killybank. And there isn't even a suggestion to build an appropriate road to it. That's the sort of vision that I believe is missing from national politics. And So long as it's governed on an individual basis by the blind pursuit of personal advancement at any cost, I'm a little bit pessimistic.
I mean, but obviously, you know, given your own background, your dynasty or your legacy or whatever it might be, how one might describe it, though, you still obviously have a lot of friends in Fianna Fáil and a love for Fianna Fáil, whether it's the Fianna Fáil of now or the Fianna Fáil that you describe. What do you see as the future for the party? Can you see any change under its current leadership? Or if there is a change in leadership, can you see it getting back to what probably could be described as its roots?
No, I don't, actually, and I'm pessimistic about that. It's not about the current leadership or the next leadership. It's about what's now the template for party politics in Ireland. It's far too presidential, be it Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Labour. It's about one person at the top. And the entire apparatus is manipulated and run for and in favour of those people. And, that is a pale reflection of the sort of democracy that I believe any country, and particularly Ireland, require. I mean, you used the word there, legacy. I mean, for me, legacies are for narcissists. I mean, the only legacy that would interest me is that people might say, well, look, he did the best he could while he was there and had the wisdom to move on and hand over the fresh legs without overstaying his welcome.
Okay, well, do you know what you're going to do after politics? Is this it, by the way?
Nope.
Do you draw a line under it? Could you? Is it something you might return to into the future, or is this it for elected politics?
No, no. I mean, I fundamentally believe when you're gone, you're gone. I mean, it's been an incredible privilege and to have had the opportunity to be in national politics for more than two decades. Is something to be very grateful for. You do the best you can when you're there, and you move on, and when you're gone, you're gone. And but no, I don't have anything identified that I'm going to go into. My background's in enterprise. I would certainly be looking for a job. I would certainly work. But between now and whenever the election is, somewhere between 12 and 14 months from now, I'll be continuing to do the work to the best of my ability, you know.
All right. Thanks very much for that. We do appreciate
Thank
your
you,
time.
Greg.
All right. Deputy Mark McSherry, Independent. Bye. Thanks very much indeed. Okay. That's he as he bows out. Mark McSherry is too outspoken for the head-nodding, self-centred party that Fianna Fáil has become, says a listener. Well, that's one person's assessment of it. I'm sure many would disagree. Right, let's take a break. Back with the weather. Quite a bit going on Sunday, and it seems we're going to have decent dry weather on Sunday, which is good for the tractor one we talked about yesterday. And for the National Breast Cancer Research Institute, in association with BlackRock Swimwear, they're asking as many people as possible to swim in pink this Sunday and help raise funds and awareness for breast cancer research during October, which is, of course, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Several events are taking place around Donegal this Sunday. Marble Hill, 10:30. Ned's Point Buncrana, 12 noon. Rosnaula, 10 a.m. Leonin Beach, 1 p.m. Toland's Bar organised that one. So make sure to dip, swim or splash for Swim in Pink on Sunday and support breast cancer research. Registration, just €25, with all the monies raised going to the National Breast Cancer Research Institute. To register, go to swimpink.ie and you'll receive a free Swim in Pink swimming cap. Okay. Which wouldn't be much use to me, but it will be much use to many people out there. Kevin, how are you getting on? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Traffic around Letterkenny, what say you?
Total disaster.
Okay.
We, as a county, as a town, there is only one project that they've got right, and that is up around the boys' school and girls' school, that one-way system.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, I went out yesterday at about 10:45. I was heading up the north and I got to come out from the Remelton Road going left out the Derry Road.
Mm-hmm.
And got to the traffic lights, were on red. Then we got a green. But the cars to my right-hand side couldn't go anywhere because the wee holding pens is on that roundabout. We're already full with cars waiting to get a red 10 yards away from their first red set of lights. So I went on, and from the Polestar right out to the Bunnaghy roundabout was bumper to bumper on both lanes. Now, I heard a guy on saying everything was clear. It wasn't clear. It was bumper to bumper.
But, Kevin, yesterday was the first full day of those lights. They have to be calibrated. Whoa. They have to move wee sensors around to gauge the traffic. There's teams out there that will be there for the next 2 weeks trying to refine it. Shall we wait and see how it goes?
Shall I just continue with my story?
Yes, you have 2 minutes, but go ahead, Kevin.
All right. My story is very simple. We set up the Polestar roundabout as it wasn't the Polestar then, it was the roundabout, the Port Bridge roundabout. Mm-hmm. We spent a fortune on it. We put a Polestar thing on it, called it the Polestar. Spent an absolute fortune on it. Now we spent an absolute fortune on traffic lights. And if we have traffic lights there on a crossroad, which it is a crossroads, right, we have no need for a roundabout. The roundabout is only a hazard now in it. Everybody's been in bigger cities, bigger towns, where there's a dual carriageway going straight ahead and crossing a dual carriageway, and their lights and everything works perfect. We've got two lanes coming into one lane. Coming in from the Derry Road, going up to the Port Road, is two lanes going into one, right? You have a left turn, you have a right turn, but over the Need of Tea, Draining Road, out there, Melton Road, which everybody's well aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Take away your roundabout and put a set of box junction and sensitive cameras there, so that if any of the boys that jump the red lights are caught and fined.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. There's no this whole thing of holding me in a pen that isn't big enough.
Yeah.
You know, that who come up with that kind of a logic? If you get a green light, you should be able to go on the way you're going with that green light, not go 10 yards and be held up, and then you're blocking up the whole thing again because nobody can get away.
Yeah, okay, I get your point.
That's totally unbelievable how this town can make a mess of everything.
All right, Kevin, listen, thank you for... go ahead, there's the one around the schools there.
That's the school. Okay. That's the only one. I'll give them a pat in the back for that, but everything else is a disaster.
All right, Kevin, listen, thank you very much for that.